Okay, has everybody got a copy of the notes? Yep, you got a pen? Awesome. No worries. So this morning we're looking at daring to plant in faith. We're continuing on with our Daring Faith series and looking at this topic this week of daring to plant in faith. So a few weeks back, some of you who were here would remember we talked about the illustrations from 2 Timothy when Paul says, looking at living by faith, he says, study these models. There was a soldier, there was an athlete, and there was a farmer, and we looked at some things around those things that soldiers do and things that athletes do. Anybody remember that week? Yeah. Baby was here. Jonathan was here. Oh, okay, some of you were here. All right. This week we just touched on this illustration of the farmer, and this week we're going to kind of look at this whole illustration of farming and planting and harvesting and all that kind of stuff and how that works. So we're going to look at that just a little bit more. But before we start, why don't we just have a word of prayer? Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to come and to look at your word and to hear your word. Father God, we just pray that you would speak to us through your spirit this morning, God, that this would be a word that is timely and in season for what's going on in our lives and in our church. God, we pray that this would be something that speaks into our hearts, into our spirits, through you speaking through us, through you speaking through me. God, I pray that you help me this morning to speak your words and to bring understanding in partnership with you as you work in us and in our midst. God, we thank you for your presence here this morning, and we thank you for the truth that we find in your word. God, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so this idea of farming and planting and harvesting is probably something that in many ways we've talked about before, you've probably heard before. We're going to kind of have a bit of a look at it this morning as in terms of how it relates to faith. So a couple of scriptures. Firstly, Genesis 8:22. God says, as long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and there will be harvest. So this is, I guess when we talk about planting and harvesting, sometimes it's referred to as sowing and reaping, the law of sowing and reaping. It's something that God has put into place as one of his inviolable laws. It's something that God has established in terms of how the world works. And he says it endures. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. And really that's what we're talking about this morning, is this law of planting and harvesting, or sowing and reaping. Now, one of the realities of this law is that it can work for us or it can work against us. It kind of works both ways. And if we ignore this law of planting and harvesting, if we try to pretend it doesn't exist, like the old ostrich, and bury our head in the sand and go, well, I don't believe it and I don't want to know it, and, you know, stick our fingers in our ears and go la 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 la, that doesn't stop the law from existing, does it? You know, just like the law of gravity doesn't stop existing if we choose not to believe in it. You know, you could leap off the top of a building and you're still head down, you know, whether we believe in the law of gravity or not, because it's one of God's laws that he established. And this law of planting and harvesting, we can either ignore it and it will hurt us and have negative consequences, or we can use it wisely and be blessed as a result. This law of planting and harvesting doesn't just apply to your back garden, all right? This isn't just about, you know, some of you here love gardening and some of you here are probably a bit more like me, and it's kind of one of those things that you tolerate and you do because otherwise you end up with a horrible yard and full of weeds and stuff, but you only do the bare minimum that you have to do. I'm a little bit like that. I always think that I want to do it, and then when it actually comes to it, I don't really. But this is a law that applies in every area of our life. Okay, this is a principle that applies to our relationships. What we plant is what we harvest in our relationships. This is an area that applies to our health. You know, it's like what we put into our body, what we invest, what we plant into our body, what we plant in terms of physical activity, what we plant in terms of how well we look after ourselves and our health, we kind of reap the consequences of that, don't we? We understand if we don't look after our body, then we suffer health issues later on. If we do look after our body, then as a general rule, we have less issues than what we might have otherwise. This law of planting and harvesting applies to our finances. It applies to our career. We can apply this to every area of our life. And this is not just something that Christians understand. You know, this is not just something that in the church we talk about this as something that Christians do. This is something that applies everywhere. And people all around the world, whether they believe in God, whether they attend a church, whether they profess faith in Christ or not, understand this law of planting and harvesting. There's a few old proverbs that kind of came to my mind when I was thinking about this in terms of this is kind of, I guess, something we understand. Look at a couple. What goes around comes around. Anybody ever heard that? Yep. You reap what you sow. Yep. You made your bed. Now you have to lie in it. They're kind of all saying the same thing, aren't they? And when you do the wrong thing, sometimes it comes back to bite you. I came across this little poem. It says, "Your mind is a garden, your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds." Isn't that cool? Well, it's all kind of essentially saying the same thing. None of those kind of proverbs and that little poem there is not particularly a Christian thing. This is something that people, whether they are Christian or not, understand, that what you plant comes back into your life. You grow a crop of whatever you plant. And everybody wants to have good things in their life, and so they go, well, you know, we understand that this law works. So principle number one, we're just going to kind of go through. We've got 12 points this morning, so we're not going to labour too much on each one of them, but the number one, point number one, everything starts as a seed. Every idea, every dream, every achievement that people have starts as a seed, starts as something small, some little, just some little thought that kind of pops into somebody's head at some point, and it grows and it expands and it takes root and it develops into a full-blown plan, idea, business, church, country, whatever it might be. And God has based the vast majority of living things on our planet on this principle of the seed. We have all kinds of great big trees and plants that start out from tiny seeds. Don't we? Jesus uses that illustration of, you know, the tiny mustard seed of faith that grows into a large tree. We have, you know, you and I were once a seed. You know, if we look at kind of in that context, living things, animals, we have this, we see all through nature, all through the world, God has established this principle of things growing from small beginnings and small seeds. Genesis chapter 1 verse 11, God says, "Let the land have seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their varieties." Now, what is a seed? In this context, and this morning, obviously we're not just talking about in terms of the physical world and the reality of plants and seeds. We understand what those seeds are. But in this context, we want to, I guess, define a seed as anything valuable that we give away. Now, a plant that develops a seed, it kind of costs the plant something. It has to use up some of its resources. It has to use up some of its energy. It has to use up some of its food in order to grow a seed, doesn't it? When a tree grows fruit, we've got an orange tree at home. When that tree is producing new oranges, it kind of has to invest its resources into the fruit and the vehicle for delivering the seeds, really, isn't it? And so a seed is something valuable that we give away, that we invest, that we sow into someone else. This is what we talk about as a seed. We give those away in faith that they'll grow, believing and trusting that some of those will plant and grow for a purpose. Now, whether those things are, you know, things like time. Our time is something that is precious and is valuable, isn't it? Because we have a limited quantity of it. And so when we choose to give it away, we hope that somehow that will bring a positive outcome or will bless somebody or benefit somebody or benefit us when we choose to give away our time. It might be our finances, our resources. It might be our wisdom. It might be our energy. It might be love. Love is something that we give away. Even words. Our words could be seeds that are planted in people's minds. They grow and they bear fruit. And so we need to choose them wisely. What kind of seeds are you planting in your relationships with other people? Are you planting seeds of trust or seeds of distrust? Seeds of kindness or seeds of meanness? Seeds that build up or seeds that tear down? We have all these kind of choices about what we're planting in our relationships and with other people. And this law says that what we plant, we always harvest. What we sow into our relationships is always what grows and bears fruit. Okay, law number two, nothing happens until a seed is planted. It has to be given away. You know, I bought some seeds once and it was very sad. They never grew. However, the reason that they never grew is because they stayed in the packet. They never actually got planted. And you might say, well, duh, you know, that seems kind of pretty obvious, doesn't it? But often, it's kind of true, isn't it? Things don't grow, seeds don't grow unless we actually plant them. And so there's kind of this time for planting. Jesus used this principle, this kind of idea to explain why he came to die on the cross. In John 12, he says, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, it cannot reproduce. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit. Can you imagine how foolish it would be for a farmer, for example, to buy a whole bunch of seed and then not plant it? Because he's like, well, you know, I might run out, or I might not have enough, or I might need this. You know, it's silly, isn't it? The farmer buys seed for the very purpose of planting it so that it will reproduce, so that it will grow more, so that he will have a harvest and increase and multiply. But planting is an act of faith. Planting is saying, I believe that if I give what I have away, that something better will come, that something good will happen. And planting is also risky. We talked about faith in terms of there's a certain element of risk whenever we have to exercise faith. If there's no risk, then it doesn't require faith, does it? But there's also an element of risk when it comes to planting. I don't know if you've ever planted something. I remember when my kids were little, and you kind of try and do the good parenting thing where you do an experiment where you plant some seeds and you kind of teach them all about how things grow and all that kind of stuff. And it's always funny because the first thing they want to do is like come out like half an hour later and go, it's not growing. Where is it? You know, and there's that temptation, and you kind of got to hold them back a little bit, depending on their age, of course, from digging up those seeds to make sure they're okay. I just want to have a look and make sure it's okay, see if there's anything happening down there yet. But we can't see what's happening underneath that dirt. And it becomes very frustrating because we have to exercise faith. There's an element of risk that says when we plant something in the ground and then we have to go away and leave it alone, we have to believe that it's going to grow by faith because we can't see it happening. What if it fails? What if it doesn't sprout? Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like someone who plants seed in the ground. Night and day, whether the person is asleep or awake, the seed still grows, but the person does not know how it grows. It's a little bit like that, isn't it? We don't know how things grow, but we plant because by faith we believe that they do. And whether we can see it or whether we can't see it, there has to be that element of faith and of trusting that God will cause those seeds to grow. Number three, when I have a need, I should plant a seed. A farmer who has no crops doesn't complain. Generally, doesn't moan, doesn't gripe, doesn't even get down on his knees and start praying. If he doesn't have a crop, what does he do? He plants something. That's how a farmer knows if he wants to grow a crop, nothing's going to happen until he plants something. If he hasn't planted anything, it's foolishness to get down on his knees and start praying, God, please help my crop to grow. If he hasn't planted anything, he isn't going to harvest anything. And the reality is, like, we talk about prayer and we talk about the power of prayer, but the reality is that in our lives there are times and there are situations where we're not supposed to pray. We're supposed to plant. We need to plant seeds. It's no good me, you know, getting on my knees and praying to God, God, please help my corn to grow. If I haven't planted any corn, what's God going to say? You know, if you want corn to grow, go and plant some. Now, if I've been planting, and you know, I can pray that God will help my plants to grow, and I can water them and do all the things that He's told me to do. But these are kind of laws and basic principles that God says, I've established this and I've made it to work this way. And if you ignore that, why are you coming to me and asking me to change what I've established? Does that make sense? God says if you want to have a harvest, there has to be seeds being planted. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6 says, do your planting in the morning and in the evening too. You never know whether it will all grow well or whether one planting will do better than the other. Have you ever heard the expression, don't put all your eggs into one basket? Yeah. It's kind of a fairly common principle. If you have a share portfolio or investments, your investment manager will tell you the same thing. Don't put everything into one thing, you know, diversify and all that kind of stuff, because you never know the future. You never know which is going to be successful and which is not. And that principle comes from this, from the Word of God. It says, you know, don't just kind of do one thing. You know, he says, plant seeds all over the place. Wherever you go and whatever you do, be planting good seeds. You know, and trust that God will cause things to grow. We need to be planting seeds all the time. Sometimes, you know, we're waiting on God. We're saying, God, we need a miracle and we want this to happen. We want that to happen. And sometimes I think God is actually waiting on us. And saying, you know, plant some seeds, sow something, invest. And this law of planting and harvesting, if you don't make a deposit, there's no return. And there's this principle of whatever I need more of, I need to give away. Whatever I need more of, I need to start planting, start investing, start giving away, and see what happens. Point number four, whatever I plant is what I will harvest. If a farmer plants a field with wheat, what kind of crop does he expect to grow? Wheat, that's right. Does he ever doubt it? No, not really. He doesn't ever think, wake up in the morning and think, gee, that wheat field that I planted last week, I wonder what I'm going to get from that. Maybe it'll be watermelons this time. Tomatoes. We plant potatoes. You know, we grow potatoes. We don't plant potatoes and grow tomatoes. It kind of is one of those things that you go, well, you know, that's obvious, isn't it? When it kind of comes to throwing stuff in the ground, then we kind of go, yeah, that's what we expect. But sometimes in our lives, don't we plant certain things and expect something different? Don't we sometimes? Anyway, Galatians 6, verse 7. Let's read this together. It says, you always harvest what you plant. You always harvest what you plant. In Genesis, when with the account of God creating the world, we have that phrase. You remember that phrase when he talks about everything would reproduce after its own kind? And all the dogs had little baby dogs and the cats had baby cats. And the elephants had baby elephants, and the giraffes had baby giraffes, and the kangaroos had baby kangaroos, and all the mother kangaroos were glad about that because they didn't want to be having baby elephants. And, you know, but things reproduce after their own kind. It's like we understand so much more of the science, and we look at the DNA and all the things that are wired and all that kind of stuff these days, but still it comes back to things reproduce after their own kind, don't they? We harvest the same in kind as what we plant. Now, this works both ways. Like we said before, this works both ways. This works for us and against us. If we plant negativity, we harvest negativity. If we plant kindness, we harvest kindness. Let's have a look at some scriptures that kind of illustrate this principle, and we kind of see it throughout scripture. Job 4, verse 8. It says, people who plant trouble harvest it. Proverbs 22, verse 8. Those who plant seeds of injustice will harvest disaster. That sounds ominous, doesn't it? Hosea 10, verse 13. You planted wickedness and now you reaped evil. Matthew 7, Jesus says, whatever measure you use to judge others will be used to measure how you are judged. Now, here's some positive ones. Proverbs 11, the one who sows righteousness will reap a sure reward. I like the sound of that better than those other ones, don't I? Hosea 10, verse 12, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of my love. And James 3, verse 18, peacemakers plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Do you get the impression that the Bible was trying to tell us something about planting and harvesting, about sowing and reaping? It kind of seems like a pretty consistent message, doesn't it? You will harvest whatever you plant. Again and again and again throughout Scripture, I'm sure there are probably many, many more examples that we could draw out of Scripture, because Scripture always backs up God's word and God's principles, doesn't it? And we get this again and again and again in Scripture. You harvest whatever you plant. With your family, with your life, with your business, what you plant will either work for you or against you. And in some ways, this is a reassuring thing. This is a good thing, because it says that we have some ability to determine what we're going to be harvesting. Doesn't it? It says you have some control, you have some influence, you have some ability to determine the things that you're going to reap in your life, the things that you're going to harvest in your life, the things that are going to come back to you. It says whatever you put out is what's going to come back. That verse that we read at the beginning says, don't be misled. You know, you cannot mock God. What you plant, you will harvest. It works every time. We cannot plant irresponsibility and harvest success. We can't plant laziness and harvest a reward. We can't plant stinginess and harvest blessing and prosperity. The Bible has lots of examples. Do you remember Jacob? Jacob and Esau, sons of Isaac. Remember him? Remember his the name Jacob meant sort of deceiver? And what'd he do? He cheated his brother out of the birthright, the blessing of the eldest son, didn't he? Put the hair on his arms. I don't know how hairy Esau must have been to have been for Jacob to kind of have a successful disguise of putting goat skin on his arms. And it's like, that was like Esau. It's like, man, hairy guy. But he tricked his father and he cheated his brother out of his inheritance. And what happened to Jacob later on? When he was afraid of Esau and he fled, he went to the house of his uncle. And what did his uncle do? Cheated him. Cheated him in all kinds of ways. Cheated him in his wages with the sheep, although God kind of came through and blessed him. That was the whole spotted sheep and thing. And cheated him with his wife. Promised him the younger daughter and married him off to the older daughter secretly. Haman. Who knows who Haman was? in the book of Esther. Haman was the guy. He was kind of like one of the assistant rulers to the king, and Haman really had it out for Mordecai and the Jews. And he wanted to see every single one of them dead. And he worked really hard to try to manipulate and to scheme and to plan to see Mordecai and all the Jews dead because of his pride. And read the book of Esther, read the story of Esther. God worked amazingly in that situation, rescued the people of Israel. And it ends up that Haman was actually put to death on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. He prepared for Israel. And when you plot evil and when you scheme and you manipulate and when you plan trouble and plant trouble, you always harvest trouble. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. What I plant is what I harvest. Rule number 5. I'm not the only one planting. You and I are also harvesting both good and bad from those who came before us, from our parents and from our family and from other people that have had influence in our life. They are also planting seeds. And sometimes we harvest things that are from others that have come before us. For some of you in your family history, maybe there's things like abuse. Maybe there's things like alcoholism. Maybe there's divorce. Those things have been kind of planted and sown into your life, and behaviours and patterns and attitudes and thoughts. The good news is that Jesus can break off all of that stuff. Jesus can change that stuff in your life. But you need to make a decision to allow him to do that. You need to make a decision that says, things change now. Jesus, I need your healing. I need you to restore and break off the power of those things in my life. Everything that we do has consequences. Everything we do has consequences. Our lives, whether we think so or not, affect other people. Will affect other people around us, will affect our spouses, our families, future generations. In my family tree, a lot of you have met my parents. Some of you have read my dad's story, coming to know Christ in an amazing way. We have copies of his book, and I know some of you have read that. Some of you probably don't know about my mum and my mum's family. I have Christian ancestors from my mum's side of the family for generations. Generations of believers on my mum's side of the family. I knew my grandparents were lovely people who really loved the Lord, and their parents before them were believers. And I'm now reaping this harvest of generations of people who trusted God and listened to the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Spirit and prayed for their kids and prayed for their grandkids and their great-grandkids. And there were seeds that they sowed into their families that now I'm reaping the rewards and the benefit of. And I'm so amazingly blessed. Now maybe you have a similar story. Maybe you have a different story. Maybe you're kind of thinking, gee, I wish that I had a legacy like that. Well, here's the good news. You can start one. You know, you can start one. You can pray for your kids and you can pray for your grandkids and you can be the beginning of the chain. John chapter 4, verse 38 says, I sent you to reap where you didn't plant. Others had already done work before you, and you will gather the harvest. We are not the only one. You're not the only one who's planting. And that's an amazing thing. There's that little kind of saying that comes up often that the church is only ever a generation away from extinction. And it has to be that continual planting. If there weren't other people planting and sowing seeds for the kingdom of God before us, we wouldn't be believers sitting in church here today, would we? All right, number 6. I always harvest in a different season than I plant. There's always a time delay. Plants take time to grow, don't they? There is no such thing as instant maturity. There's instant fame, but not instant maturity. it takes time to gather wisdom. Ecclesiastes says there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to scatter and a time to gather. Fruit ripens gradually and grows gradually, doesn't it? It doesn't just suddenly appear ripe and ready to pick on the tree overnight. You know, it always takes time. Like I said before, we have an orange tree at home, and the fruit basically starts, the new fruit starts appearing and budding almost as soon as the previous year's crop has been picked and is sort of ripe. And so it's there and it's growing pretty much all year long. Now, it can be a little bit tempting at times. A couple of weeks ago, our oranges were kind of just starting to ripen up and they just kind of still had that bit of green tinge on them. And it's very tempting to sort of, you know, just to kind of test them, just to see whether they're ripe yet. And they're still kind of, you know, you kind of go, yeah, this is pretty sour. And but there's always that temptation, and probably even a week or two before I'm tempted, we'll find the kids have been trying them out. Especially Amy, who likes sour things anyway, so she's like, oh no, they're delicious. But there's always that temptation to just kind of jump in a little bit early and not to wait until it's fully developed and fully ripe. But isn't it always so much better and so much tastier when you kind of have a fruit that's actually ripened on the plant? I don't know if you kind of have... I can't actually eat oranges from the store anymore because it's just not the same thing. It's like a totally different fruit. Because one, when you've had what's been ripened naturally versus what's been ripened artificially with the ethylene gas and all that kind of stuff, it's a bit like the difference between vine-ripened tomatoes and kind of the other. Which, you know, what has the better flavour? The vine-ripened ones always do, don't they? And you miss out on some of that flavour if you're in too much of a hurry and you kind of want to pick it and try to hurry it up artificially. But there's always this time delay. Things always take time to mature and develop, and we can't expect like the kids who kind of plant the seeds and want to come out the next morning and see the plant like this high. That seems to be the expectation, doesn't it? And sometimes we're a little bit like that when we're sowing, when we're planting stuff in our lives. When we plant kindness, we want to kind of have this instant reward. When we're planning financially, we kind of go, okay, God, you know, why does my bank account still look the same as it did yesterday? Come on, where's the blessing? You know, when we're planning stuff, we're kind of always in a hurry and we're always impatient. And there's that element that we have to have of faith that says, do you know what? I can trust and I can wait for God's timing. Because I know that his law says that when I plant, I will always harvest. That when I sow into his kingdom, that he'll take care of my needs. And it may not be now and it may not be in my time, but I'll trust that God will be faithful to his word and will do it in his season and in his time. Yeah? And this leads us into number 7. I must be patient and not give up. I must be patient and not give up. It's so easy to get impatient, isn't it? Maybe there are things that, you know, you felt God saying, plant a seed here, give to this, sow into this, give away this. And he said, you know, that there'll be this harvest and you're kind of still waiting. Be patient and don't give up. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Be patient and don't give up. Number 8, I always harvest more than I plant. This is the law of multiplication. And again, this will either work for us or against us. Whether we're sowing the right things or the wrong things, we always harvest more than what we plant. I don't know if you've ever seen a sunflower. Sometimes they're growing on the side of the road. My parents decided they wanted to have some sunflower seeds. I don't know what they wanted them for, or getting into some healthy thing, and so they thought they'd plant some sunflowers. And from one sunflower seed, you grow a big sunflower plant. And we used to kind of, sometimes you get the big sunflower heads like that, and there are hundreds of little seeds inside that sunflower.
dreadfully annoying to actually try to get them out.
I don't know if you've ever tried that. Terribly annoying, fiddly and finicky, but it's the same kind of principle. No matter what it is, you know, you plant a tomato plant and you kind of get lots of tomatoes on there, don't you? When you plant, you always get more than what you plant. Jesus illustrates this when he talks about the parable of the different types of soil in Mark chapter 4. And he comes to you remember that one? And there's like the seeds that fell on the path, and seeds that fell in the rocky soil, and seeds that got choked out by the weeds. And he says, but some seed fell on good soil, and it came up and it grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, and even 100 times. There's exponential potential in every seed. You might have heard this before. Anyone can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed. Isn't that true? There's incredible potential of multiplication, this exponential growth when you plant seeds. We always harvest more than we plant. Okay, number 9. I can increase my harvest by planting more seed. If a farmer wants to grow a bigger crop, what does he do? Plants more seeds. That's right. He's got to plant more. He's got to plow up a bigger patch of ground, and he's got to have more seed ready to plant in. It's one of those things that you think about. It's like, well, you know, when we look at the practical world, it kind of seems obvious. But when we start to apply this to spiritual truths and spiritual realities, or, you know, things in our life that are not actually putting a physical seed in the ground and waiting for a plant to grow, somehow we seem to lose the principle oftentimes, don't we? We kind of expect it to somehow work differently because we're applying it in a different area of our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each one should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There's this concept that says when you only sow a little bit of seed, then you only get a little bit of harvest back. But if you go, hey, do you know what? I want a big harvest, so I'm going to give away lots of my seed. I'm going to plant it everywhere and do all this kind of stuff. And we get the bigger harvest. You get to choose how big your harvest is. You get to choose. The law of generosity works for anyone who follows it. Look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 11. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. Isn't that interesting? We always reap in proportion to what we sow. Number 10, the more seed I plant, the more God will give me. God is looking for generous and faithful people to bless. God knows our hearts. Sometimes I think that's a good thing, and sometimes I'm not so sure. Sometimes there are things I'd like to kind of keep hidden a little bit from God, isn't there? Things in our heart sometimes we go, I'm not sure I'm really happy with God seeing that aspect of what's going on in my heart right now. But God always knows our hearts, and he is looking for people who will be faithful with what he gives them. He knows. You know, when you pray for something in your life, when you pray for blessing, he knows what you're going to do with it. Doesn't he? And he's looking for people to bless. Look at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. For God, who supplies seed to the farmer and bread to eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can keep it for yourself and increase your bank account. No. so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. This is an amazing promise from God about money, about finance, about generosity, and about what happens when we live lives that are generous. He says, if I can trust you to be faithful, and if I know that if I just pour out lots of stuff into your life, you're going to bless a whole bunch of people around about you, and you're going to build up the church, and you're going to build the kingdom of God, and you're going to use your resources for the kingdom of God, why would God not want to provide? Why would God not want to pour more and more and more into your life? Like I said before, there's nothing greater that we can invest in than the kingdom of God. There is nothing that matters more. There is nothing that will have greater significance than investing in the kingdom of God. God says, I want to bless you. I want to pour out into your life if you will be faithful and use it the way that he wants us to use it. Okay, number 11. I plant by faith, not by my feelings. How many of you think that farmers always feel like going out and working? Anybody? Probably not. There are probably days when they really enjoy going out and driving around in their tractor or whatever. I don't know what they do. But I'm sure that just like any of us, I mean, I'm sure we could probably all say that about ourselves too. There are days when we just don't feel like going to work, aren't there? You might find this surprising, but I have this little confession to make. I don't always feel like being nice to people. I know that's really hard to believe because I'm such a kind and, you know, nice person. there are times when, you know, I'd rather just be at home curled up with a book somewhere and not have anybody, you know, bothering me. There are days when I feel like some of you, yeah, you're nodding, yeah. some of you have days when you feel like that too. There are days when I don't always feel like being generous. There are days when I don't feel like being kind. There are days when, you know, there are some Sundays when I come and I don't even feel like preaching. I know, that's shocking. But sometimes, you know, we make that choice to kind of go, God, this is the responsibility that you've given me. God, you've given me this responsibility of being part of the worship team to bless others and leading worship or of preaching. And we go, God, you know, I'm going to do this and believe that you're going to bring something good out of it. I'm going to give it my best in faith and believe that you'll use it for something good, that you'll somehow plant some seed through what I do and plant it in someone's heart, and that will be a blessing to them. Sometimes we plant when we're tired. Sometimes we plant when we're distracted. Sometimes we plant when we're stressed. Sometimes we plant when we're grieving and when we're sad. We move ahead in faith in spite of my feelings, and we expect in faith that God will act. Have a look at this verse in Psalm 126. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. You know, one of the things, when I read this verse, one of the things that it says to me is that there is always a cost in planting. Isn't there? There's always a cost when we give away. There's always that cost, and you kind of get, I get this mental picture of people going out, you know, maybe after a fairly lean year, after a lean harvest, and they've got their seed, and there's kind of this, you know, there's this almost this abundance, and there's this weeping because we know that at the moment things are really tight, and I could probably use some of this, but I'm going to take it out, and I'm going to plant, and I'm going to give it away, even though I don't actually have very much. And there's this grieving of, you know, I can't really afford to give this away, but I'm sowing and I'm investing and believing that God is going to come. And when we reap that harvest as it grows, that there's that joy. Word of God says when we plant in faith, we don't regret it. When we plant in faith, when we choose to give ourselves away for the kingdom of God, we're always glad that we did. We never regret investing into the kingdom of God. All right, last point, point number 12. The best time to plant is now.
best time to plant is now. Don't wait for a better time. Don't wait for a better season. Don't play the when I retire, or don't play the, like, you know, tell yourself, oh, when I have enough to spare, then I'll give, then I'll be generous, then I'll, you know, it doesn't ever come. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 says, those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds, and those who look at every cloud will never reap a harvest. There'll always be something we can point to. There'll always be some excuse, some reason why we're going to wait or we're going to put it off. The best time to plant is now. Start now. You don't know how many tomorrows you've got. One of these days, all too often, becomes none of these days. The best time to plant is now. Can we pray? Father, we thank you for what your word teaches us about this principle that you've put into place in our world, about planting and harvesting, about sowing and reaping. Lord, I know that for some of us here this morning, we know that there are things in our life that we're harvesting, that we're reaping, that we don't like. We kind of look at that and go, I don't want to harvest that. I'm not happy with that in my life. And this morning, God, I know that you're challenging many of us to stop and look at the things that we're planting. To stop and look at the things that we're sowing into our relationships, that we're sowing into our lives, sowing into our the people that are around us, and even sowing into our own minds and our hearts. God, help us to hear from you in being honest and evaluating and looking at the things that we're planting in order that we can change what we're harvesting, Father. God, we thank you for this promise. Lord, we thank you that you help us to be wise in understanding how to make it work for our benefit and for our blessing in our life, how to be wise in putting this principle into practice in our life, and understanding it. God, help me to be patient and to trust that you will bring the harvest in your time and in your season, your perfect time, Father God. Help me to be patient and trust you when I'm waiting. God, help me not to be dictated to by my feelings. Lord, help my life not to be determined by my feelings, but by faith. And God, help me to have the courage and the wisdom to begin to plant now as you lead us by your Spirit. Father, we pray that you would help us to be great planters for your kingdom, that we would be people who would be generous and plant kindness and to live according to your Spirit. Lord, live lives that want to please you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.